Some Democrats want to get rid of the filibuster, but there may be one man standing in their way, one of their own, Democratic Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia. Manchin has been very vocal against abolishing the filibuster. His position poses a problem for Democrats who are imploring Senate Republicans not to use the filibuster to block an independent commission to investigate the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol. Andrew Prokop is a senior political correspondent for Vox. He interviewed Senator Manchin for Recent Profile, and he joins us now. Andrew, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. So Joe Manchin's much-publicized commitment to keeping the filibuster seems contrary to his desire to push through legislation. Why does he think it's important to keep it?
He has this view of our politics now that the political ills of the nation come from too much extremism and unwillingness to compromise on both sides. He thinks that this explains everything from, you know, congressional dysfunction to the storming of the Capitol on January 6th to how Democrats have been really struggling in his home state of West Virginia. He told me, "I truly believe in my heart of hearts, if we get rid of the filibuster, we would lose the purpose of this democracy, of this republic, which is for the people, not on my watch. Is that going to happen?"
You know, it's a fascinating exercise to explore Manchin's political career as a way to add context to his position. And it starts in West Virginia. In 1996, he lost the Democratic primary for governor, as we know. How did that experience shape who he is as a politician?
When he ran for governor in 1996, he really was the candidate of business who ran against and lost to a candidate who was backed by labor and took more progressive positions. But then that candidate, her name was Charlotte Pritt, she went on to lose in the general election. Manchin's view of this is that she was simply too extreme to win in West Virginia, a state which was moving to the right. Manchin thought that the only way to keep winning there was to unite the party around his agenda, his more moderate approach. But he also made sure to bring in the labor unions to his big tent. And that really worked for him. That got him elected governor in 2004, reelected 4 years later, and then got him into the Senate when the state's senior senator, Robert Byrd, died in 2010.
Right. Manchin came to the Senate in a special election then in 2010. You know, there's this story of Democratic Senator Brian Schatz of Hawaii walking past Joe Manchin in the hallway and referring to him as Your Highness. Of course, Schatz was joking, but it speaks to the power that Manchin has in Congress. He is the 50th vote, as you said, to pass anything that doesn't have Republican support. And while he's spoken quite a bit about wanting to support the Biden administration's agenda, in the context of the conversation we're having, could he also be seen as a roadblock?
Oh, absolutely. He is definitely the most public Democratic senator who is actually willing to put his foot down and say no. We saw he scuttled Neera Tanden's nomination to be the director of the Office of Management and Budget. And then we are seeing again with Democrats' major voting rights bill, Manchin has said that he thinks it would be a mistake to push through by changing the rules a bill to reform how elections are conducted in this country with Democratic votes alone. He told me in our interview that he thinks this will just inflame tensions in the country and lead to even more problems like happened on January 6th at the Capitol. So that has been the source of his power. He's been willing to say no. But he's also often willing to cut deals when Democrats really want something. He did briefly put his foot down with Biden's big stimulus bill, the American Rescue Plan, but then he did agree to a deal in the end. So there are these two Manchins, the deal maker who is with the party in the end, usually, and the more recalcitrant one who is willing to stand up and really oppose stuff that everybody else in his party wants.
Right. And he really enjoys holding both of those positions. He's actually said he is very strategic in the way he understands issues and the issues on both sides of the aisle and how to navigate through that. What does Manchin's political future look like? We know in his state of West Virginia, Trump won by 39 points in 2020, and Republicans hold every statewide office and the entire congressional delegation.
Manchin really stands out among current senators because, as you said, Trump won his state overwhelmingly. And if you look at other senators whose parties are mismatched between whether Trump or Biden won their state, his gap is by far the biggest. So the next time Manchin is up in 2024, it's going to be a lot tougher for him. He barely won in 2018. He won by 3 points in a very good year for Democrats across the country. This could also be his last term. It's entirely possible he could decide not to run again in 2024. So he's probably thinking a lot about his legacy at this point.
Andrew Prokop is senior political correspondent for Vox. Andrew, thank you so much for this conversation.
Thanks so much for having me.